What is going on, everyone? This is your boy, Nathan Crankfield. Welcome back to Book Club, day 8. And I've taken a little break from recording because I've been traveling. We finally got back. As you can see here, with this beautiful view you're looking at, I'm back in my office. Back in the studio, baby. We are back. And I got to tell you, it's great to be back. Had a nice time visiting family, but man, we were ready to come home. We missed Denver, missed that crisp mountain air, and it is great, great to be here. So here today, we're diving into chapter 8. And chapter 8 is largely about consolation and desolation. If you've never heard of those terms, it's probably true that you've never read St. Ignatius of Loyola's Rules for Discernment. St. Ignatius of Loyola is the founder of the Jesuits. Don't take that to be a bad thing. I know the Jesuits have a very interesting reputation in today's world. But he was a stud. He was a legend. He was a soldier that had a big conversion after reading the lives of the saints and wanted to become a great saint and succeeded in doing so, which is pretty awesome. But he basically gave the church, or at least expanded on the church's language of consolation and desolation, helped us understand what Screwtape here refers to as kind of the troughs and not valleys. I was going to say valleys, but troughs and valleys are the same thing. What does he call them? The peaks. Troughs and the peaks. So basically consolation, desolation. So consolation being good times in simplest terms, desolation being bad times. Some of these periods of dryness, right? These periods where we're not feeling really good, you know, spiritually. If you think about a retreat or conference, some of the things we've been talking about the last few days here, where you have these kind of mountain peak experiences, these things that call you to conversion, that make you feel really good, those are your peaks, right? And then you're going to have troughs when you lose a loved one, or just you get to kind of the mundanity of life, right? Just the daily grind of parenthood or marriage or single life, of school, of whatever it is, right? You think about this when you go to college, right? When you're a freshman orientation, it's hype, it's super fun, everything's new. And then like sophomore year, or even like second semester, right? Now you're just like doing homework and like you're getting into the kind of the normal, like midterms are coming up and you're like, man, this isn't as fun as it was in September. And this happens in anything in life, right? We talk about in marriage, having the kind of honeymoon phase, and then you kind of move past that. And just kind of experience normality, right? It's just kind of a regular, you just experience the normalcy of life. So it's not a bad thing, but it's something that naturally happens. One thing I think is interesting here is the way that Screwtape describes it. He's basically saying that God has control over the troughs and the peaks. And we can, in some ways, control whether we're at a trough or a peak. God is fully in control, but we can't earn or create peaks, but we can cooperate in God's grace and place ourselves in places that are going to become peaks. We also can and do have the power to plunge ourselves into troughs. That's something that's also, I think, very apparent in the Christian life. And the main way to do that, right, is through mortal sin. All right, so one of the quotes here, he says that God relies on the troughs even more than on the peaks. Some of his special favorites have gone through longer and deeper troughs than anyone else. This a great example of this is Mother Teresa talks about having 50 years of darkness, of experiencing these 50 years of pain in her relationship with God, of kind of silence, of coldness, of feeling like God had abandoned her, right? But continued to serve, continued to love, continued to do what she did so well, continued to be a saint. Going on here, he says, the reason is this: to us, a human is primarily food. Our aim is the absorption of its will into ours, the increase of our own area of selfhood at its expense. But the obedience which the enemy demands of men is a quite different thing. One must face the fact that all the talk about his love for men and his service being perfect freedom is not, as one would gladly believe, mere propaganda, but an appalling truth. He really does want to fill the universe with a lot of loathsome little replicas of himself. And so I love that. He wants us to become one of him. He wants servants who can become sons. They want cattle who can finally become food. And so this is what you start to see, right? When you fall into sin, when you give in to temptation, you realize that the devil is offering you nothing in return, right? They give you a brief pleasure. The demons give you a brief pleasure. Sin gives you a brief pleasure and happiness, maybe. And then it's followed by nothing, emptiness, coldness, dryness. Where with God, when you do acts of virtue, good acts, holy acts, you're left with peace, fulfillment, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? Love and joy. As you go on, it talks about how as you mature, sooner or later, God withdraws, if not in fact, at least from their conscious experience, all those supports and incentives. So all the things that kind of incentivize you at the beginning, this is where a lot of people fall off of the Christian journey, is because it's so easy to do so, right? When you get kind of started and you kind of have this woo, eventually that kind of fades away, right? And I think that's super interesting with this can kind of, I don't want to like too off rail this into dating, but I think that happens a lot of times in Catholic relationships where sometimes it feels like women in this desire to be pursued want to have this like honeymoon experience all throughout dating, all throughout engagement, all throughout marriage. Now there is obviously something to pursuit, but it's not going to always be like it is at the beginning. And God gives us those experiences because it's in the dryness that we really prove our love for somebody else. And both sides of the relationship are going to experience that, right? You're not going to just have this, 50 years of Cancun, unfortunately. And he says, I love this. He leaves the creature to stand upon its own legs, to carry out from the will alone duties which have lost all relish. It is during such trough periods, much more than during the peaks, that it is growing into the sort of creature he wants it to be. This I love, because you've probably heard me talk about this before, but we have this mindset that we can just always crawl. We're allowed to be like spiritual babies forever. I hear this at a lot of men's conferences specifically. And I love that he says it's here that God wants us to use our will alone to stand up on our own legs. And that's what it means, I think, to be a spiritual adult, right? Is to actually stand up on your own legs, to own your faith, to go to Mass, to show up early to Mass, to go to Holy Hour, to go to confession, even when you don't feel like it, even when you're scared or nervous or anxious, or you're just feeling lazy, right? You just want to take some time off. I love that Screwtape says that God cannot tempt to virtue as we do vice. He wants them to learn to walk and must therefore take away his hand. If only the will to walk is really there, he is pleased even with their stumbles. And this is true. This is something that is so beautiful and something I've had to remind myself a lot as I've stumbled a ton, as anybody does who's on the Christian life. I'm sure you've experienced this as well. What we have to evaluate in ourselves, what the devil wants us to evaluate is always our results, right? The devil, and this is true in general, right? You hear a lot of self-help books will talk about this too. I even listened to a podcast about podcasting recently that was talking about this that said, don't set number goals for your podcast. Just set activity goals. Focus on what you can control. Set goals in the areas where you can control it. The devil, in all things, wants us to look at the results rather than the activity we're taking, rather than the disposition of our heart. And what Screwtape is pointing out here is this truth that God actually does look at the disposition of our heart. Some people take this too far and they think that, oh, I have a good heart, or I'm trying to be a good person. They presume God's grace and they willingly sin and set up their lives to be sinful lives. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about if you actually have the will where you're trying, you're genuinely trying to be holy, you don't have to be scrupulous about sinning, because you just don't have to evaluate your heart and say, okay, I fell. But you don't let one fall turn into another. You get back up, you go to confession if necessary, and you go to confession often in general, and you keep going, right? And you can tell by your life, by the things you're doing, whether you're laying down your life, whether you're generous, whether you're kind, whether you're forgiving and sacrificing. These are the things that let you know where your heart's really at. And you can see here, this reminds me of Job. And you think about the great story in the book of Job, of basically Job going through immense troughs, right? Immense times of desolation, of feeling abandoned by God. And I remember reading that story when I was in college, and I was so moved by that. I'm always moved. I love the church hymn, "Oh God Beyond All Praising," or "Be Thou My Vision." Both of them reference basically, in "Oh God Beyond All Praising," he said the second verse says, "And whether our tomorrows be filled with good or ill, we'll something like work through our sorrows and rise to bless you still." And I think there's something so beautifully masculine about that too. It's not that it's only for men, but I think that like understanding duty, responsibility, obligation, fulfilling that, even when you don't feel like it, to me, that's at the core of what it means to be a man. If you ask me to sum up what it means to be a man, I think it's mastering doing what you ought to do rather than what you feel like doing. And so that's really the what it means to be a saint, I think. It's definitely not limited to being a man, but there is something I think strongly masculine about responsibility, ownership, leadership. And we're all called to lead ourselves. We're all called to make sure that we stay in the fight, even in the midst of dryness. And so you're going to experience that. I think it's always more helpful to know that we're going to encounter this, that when we have these times of dryness, we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't think that God doesn't love us anymore or anything like that. That's what the devil wants us to think, but that's not what we need to believe, not what we need to think. So let's continue to fight. Let's continue to push forward and strive to be the people that God created us to be, even when it doesn't feel so good. God bless you, my friend. I'll see you tomorrow.